that we take knowingly or unknowingly every day in our lives. And that is the introduction, and you might be thinking as to what I might be sharing this morning. The topic that I have this morning, which has been dear to my heart for the last many years, and also recently I've been thinking as I see our lives progressing, as we move on in our lives, as we see people around us and we see and hear experiences and stories, one thing really came back to my heart, and that is the topic of choice, the choices that we make, choosing. And today I wanted to dwell on this practical topic, lessons on choosing rightly, or the dangers in choosing wrongly. And as we look in our lives, as we have come together, we have seen today two single people promoting to couple, and then we see two couples who were promoted to parents. And then we see our Appa Chin also celebrating a beautiful milestone. So our life has so many things that happens around us. Life is full of choices. It could be big or small. It shapes our paths. It defines who we are. So we go through life on a day-to-day basis. And every day we are bombarded with choices. Some of them are very irrelevant, maybe not that important. Like you get up in the morning, you decide what do you like to do today, how do we drive, where do I go to work, and what kind of food I'm going to eat, and things like that. So those are just simple choices that we make, which may not have much of a long-term impact. So these are choices we don't think twice. But then there are important choices in life that we oftentimes, or not all the time, but we go through life's choices. And I'm sure that we can look back and see those important steps where we have taken a certain decision. We can start from a childhood, going from school, elementary school to middle school and high school. And when you get to a certain age, you start thinking, okay, what do I like to do in life? What kind of career or what kind of degree shall I go? Which college should I take? What kind of major should I take? And then after we go through that, we come to a point that we have to decide, okay, what kind of job should I take? And then you progress in life, and then you come to a point where you are becoming ready for the next step, where people desire for a family. You look and you pray about seeking a partner which would help us in our walk. And then you move on to the next step of family, raising a family. So choices are there in life. And there are very important choices that we make in life, which are the life's greatest decisions. So, but choices will also show who we are. It defines us, and ultimately, we are responsible for the choices we make. And that is a very important line to remember, that we are solely responsible for the choices we make. In the book of Deuteronomy, I was looking through that, the word choice or choose or chosen has been mentioned multiple times. It's about 35 times I see that word being mentioned. The Lord is reminding the Israelites that they need to choose correctly. And there's a verse in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, which says like this, the Lord says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So here we see a good thing as an introduction as we come together to study this, this topic of choices. The Lord is saying that I've set before you two things, life and death, blessing and cursing. Now you have to choose something. So therefore, or in other words, This is what you need to do. Choose life so that both you and your descendants may live. And then we see that very important statement in the book of Joshua 24. Towards the end of that book, Joshua, the leader, is saying like this, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that was on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So again, we see another topic or a picture of choice. And Joshua is saying, you have the choice. You can choose either go back to the gods that your parents have worshipped on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, but this is what I'm going to do. So here we see a very emphatic choice that Joshua is taking, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this is a picture that we often see in many houses, right? And we use that, we remind ourselves that for us and our family, we would serve the Lord. And also we see that God is a God of choosing. He also has chosen us. So it is not that we are put together with no examples before us, but God has also done that. That the Lord has chosen us to be his people, a special treasure above all the peoples on the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. The Lord says, I have chosen you. And then we see, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalms 33 and 12. Then the Lord Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you that you should go out and bear fruit. So this is not a foreign topic for each one of us. But to make choices, we need to start somewhere. We need to know how to make choices and when to make the choice. And for that, we need wisdom and counsel. We were just singing about the song, we say is counselor, comforter, and keeper. The Lord is the counselor. And we read in James chapter 1 that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who would give liberally and without reproach, but ask in faith without doubting. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. So we have a place that we can go to for counsel. Where there's no counsel, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So there's safety when we are drawn in the path of counsel. We need counsel. The Lord is the best counselor that we have. But we see in the book of Psalms that many times in book of Psalms and Proverbs where people's folly is being presented, where they make choices the way their heart takes them. And eventually we see that they go into a path of destruction. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 12 and 15. Proverbs 21 and 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. So we need counsel in our lives to make choices. And this is something that we have to be seriously praying and looking for. In Romans 12 and verse 2, in a different translation, I came across this statement. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform into a new person by changing the way we think. Then we will learn to know God's will for us, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So counsel is necessary for us to lead a life that is pleasing to God. And the Lord is saying, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32 and 8. And the Lord's desire for each one of us is what we see in Jeremiah 29 and 11. Very familiar verse that I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So our response is to delight in the Lord, and he will grant the desires of our heart. Psalms 37 and verse 4. So choices is something that we have to make. So for today, after this introduction, I wanted to take us forward to Genesis chapter 13. And that is the passage I wanted to dwell upon today on choices. And it's a very familiar passage. There's nothing new, but it's more of a reminder for each one of us as we study this passage. We pray that the Lord will remind us the importance of choosing rightly according to God's will. And what happens if we choose wrongly? And what happens if we choose rightly? And may God help us to learn from this passage. So shall we read chapter 13 of Genesis? I wanted to read the entire 18 verses as an introduction to a few points I wanted to bring forth. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on in his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwell in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings to the word. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you, Lord, for the scripture that we have in hand. We thank you for the freedom that we could meet openly and to study and worship and be in fellowship. We thank you for your word. We just pray that you would help us to learn from your word, apply these things in our hearts, that we may be useful for you, more useful for you in the days ahead. We give you thanks in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. So here we see Abram and Lot. And we know the story of Abram. God called him out in the chapter 12. And he told him, get out of your country to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And we see that in verse number 4 in chapter 12 that he departed and came to the land of Canaan, and then he came to Shechem in verse number 6, and then he moved towards the mountain east of Bethel, and then he journeyed towards the south, and then he went down to Egypt because there was a famine, so he decided to keep moving. So by faith, Abraham obeyed the call of God. And we see that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that by faith Abraham obeyed, and he was called to go out to a place that he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And that's an amazing path of a true pilgrim. Heeding to the voice of God, obeying the voice of God, and getting out of his place of comfort and moving out, not knowing where he was going. And here we see that he moved from place to place and he came out of Egypt. But he also had made some bad choices as well. If you see in the book, in chapter 12, that he decided that he may be killed, and he decided to say that Sarah was his sister. So he made some bad choice, and then he learned from it. So we as believers, we do go through life and we do make choices which are good and bad. But the fact is that we need to learn from it, apply things that we need to learn for the betterment of our spiritual life as we move on. So here we see in chapter 13 that he left Egypt with greater wealth than he had before. So his wealth was increasing. Primarily with the livestock that he had. In those days, and these are shepherds, these are people who the wealth is accounted based on the amount of livestock that they have. And he also had, here we see, he had silver and gold as well, but mostly the livestock was increasing. There are herdsmen with him. So here we see in the life of a pilgrim, that he encountered some choices. So that's the first thing I wanted to bring out, that we as believers, we are on the road on a pilgrimage, that we are moving from one place to the other, just like Abraham did. But the second point is that the possessions can cause trouble. So here we see in chapter 13 and verse 6, the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. As the livestock increased, you know, they had difficulty. The land could not support them. There was not enough pasture or water to feed the flocks. So that is the reality on the ground for Abram and Lot. But looking at it in a spiritual sense, possessions can cloud our choices. And that's what I wanted to bring out from this point, that possessions can cloud our decisions we make in life. You know, riches can be a source of strife and contentions. But if you look at it, poverty and suffering may not separate us, but riches can. And that's an interesting part, that poverty and suffering sometimes bring us together, but riches sometimes takes us apart. We have to be mindful that having wealth is not always an indication that we are on the right path. It is not always a token of blessing in each of our lives. You know, of course, wealth can be a blessing, but not all the time. Wealth can be a snare in our life as well as believers. You know, wealth is fleeting. As believers, our mind should be on heavenly inheritance, not to dwell too much on earthly stuff. We read there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. And then Paul says that we came into the world with nothing and we carry out nothing. That is the life of a pilgrim. We came with nothing. And Job said the same thing, naked was I when I came, and naked will I leave. So there's nothing that we can take with us. But what we can focus is on the heavenly inheritance. So wealth in itself should never be the goal of a believer. You know, we need stuff to live. We need stuff to live comfortably. But wealth in itself, we have to be careful that it doesn't cloud our decisions. So here we see the possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And we see the vanity in the book of Ecclesiastes as well. You know, and the writer of the book always says certain things. There's a lot of things under the earth that if you hold on to that, it is vanity and it is an evil affliction. We know the story of the Lord encountering a young man in Matthew chapter 19 who came to him and said, "What good thing should I do to have eternal life?" And then the Lord was conversing with him and he said, "All these things I've done from my youth, what do I still lack?" And the Lord said, "If you want to be perfect, you go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then you come and follow me." But what happened to this young man who came with a seeking heart, maybe, or maybe he was trying to figure out what he can learn? He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You know, possessions can cloud our mind. So here we see Abram was encountering this possessions becoming a problem for them. So we see the next point I wanted to bring up is that he was prudent. And because of that, he made a pact. You go into verse number 8, we see Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." So here we see that Abram was understanding there's a strife coming up. He doesn't want any strife between the brethren. No disagreement, no quarrel, disputes, or argument, or conflict. So he wanted to keep that aside, and he said, "We are brethren. We are kinsmen of the same family. We cannot afford to let a rift come in between us." That is Abram's, the way that he saw things. So the prudence of Abram is what I wanted to bring up in this point, where he was seeing ahead of time that this possessions can become a major snare. So he was very generous, and he gave his nephew the opportunity to choose the land first. He did not grab the land for himself. He saw the issues coming from a distance, and he had a solution as well. And he told him that you take the first step, and he told Lot to take the chance, and then he waited. We see a picture of a prudent man. And he told them that we must separate. Doesn't the whole land lie before you? So he posed a question before Lot. So here we see prudence showing in the life of Abram. And we all need to be prudent in our life as we make decisions. What does prudence mean? It's the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason, to have a godly shrewdness and spiritual insight. Not just seeing the physical reality around us, which is what we see in this picture, but beyond that, to see a spiritual reality, a relational reality. And that's what Abram saw. And sometimes when we get clouded by looking at things around us, and we get caught up in this physical reality, and we tend to make decisions based on that, but we may not see the entire picture, the spiritual reality. A prudent man would consider his steps well. A prudent man would foresee evil and hide himself. We read that in Proverbs 22. And even the Lord said to the disciples that if you intend to build a tower, you don't just sit down and do things and then later think, okay, do I count the cost? But before that, before you do something, you have to sit down and analyze and count the cost. So having prudence is to avoid risk. Biblical prudence assesses risk and takes action in accordance to God's revealed desires. Prudence is needed in some of our gray areas in life, and we have to be very careful because we see around us stories and experiences of people. I've seen that too. And I've seen in my own life lessons that I've learned where I had made mistakes. So our life is a life of lessons, and we learn as we move on. But certain lessons we cannot afford to lose and make a mistake. You know, in my workplace, we have an application where people would choose. There are radio buttons and you can choose the options. And as you click, the next set of options would show. And then if you keep clicking, it'll create more and more options. And in the end, the tool will give you an answer. So it's called a decisioning tool. And that's what we do in our workplace, and we create those applications. So, but in our lives, we don't have the luxury to go back and change the option that we chose first. You know, like in these applications, you can go back and change the initial question, and it'll bring up a different set of questions beneath that. But life for us is not like that. We have to be careful and prudent to make decisions based on the reality that is around us. The prudence is very much needed. So here we see, the next point I wanted to bring up is about the plain of Sodom. Here we see in verse number 10 that Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. So the plain of Jordan was very attractive to Lot. You know, and he thought maybe for a second that he got it all. And he made a hasty decision. That is the lesson we learned from the life of Lot. A hasty decision. A quick look and a quick decision. He looked at it with human wisdom. He looked at it. He saw the plain of Jordan, well-watered, lush, like the garden of the Lord. And he made a critical mistake that he chose for himself. We read that here in verse number 11. Lot chose for himself. A critical mistake that he made. He did not inquire of the Lord. And we see that things coming again and again in the Bible. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we read about the tragic end of King Saul and his sons. And we see that Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he committed against the Lord. We see that in verses 13 and 14 of 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and this phrase maybe repeats again and again in a few other passages. We read that he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David. The tragic mistake of King Saul, and here we see Lot making a tragic mistake, a hasty decision that he did not inquire of the Lord. You know, Lord, little did he know what awaited him. You know, he thought he made a good decision based on what he could see. His physical eyes drove him to make a decision. And maybe he knew that Sodom was wicked, but here we see that he pitched his tent towards as far as Sodom. Maybe he was playing with his mind, hoping that he can stand the temptation. You know, he made a very critical mistake. You know, the Proverbs say there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of death. Proverbs 14 and 12. You know, sometimes we make hasty decisions in life and we pay the penalty, critical mistake. We see things around us in people's lives that we see, which also may affect us as families. People making bad decisions, you know, primarily in the realm of marriage. We see many, many families breaking apart, you know, and sometimes we have to think if those decisions were taken with the Lord in view. Are these decisions taken with the will of God? So here we see the lesson we learned from Lot is that he made a hasty decision, which he was based on his own physical view that he could see. He did not inquire of the Lord. Same thing we see in Joshua chapter 9, where the Gibeonites came. They didn't want to be killed, and they came and they made a treaty with Joshua. But we see that the men of Israel did not ask counsel of the Lord, and they made a peace with this Gibeonites, which was a tragic mistake. So There are lessons in scripture where we see the consequences of a bad decision. But what do we see in contrast? We see the next thing I wanted to bring up is that the word point. Here we see in verse 12 and 13 that after Lot journeyed away, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. So we see a contrast in their lives. And then in verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are." Pointing. And here we see the life of Lot and Abram are a study of contrast. Lot looked selfishly and coveted the land, and he went towards that. Whereas Abram decided to wait. And we don't know how long he waited. Verses 12 and 13 could be a matter of time, could be quick. But he waited till the Lord said to him, "Lift up your eyes now." The Lord's timing is the best timing. It's the safest timing and the secure timing for each one of us. But the problem is that sometimes in our lives, we make critical mistakes where we think we know the best timing. You know, even though we know all these things in theory, sometimes when it comes to life, we make mistakes where we make hasty decisions, not waiting upon the Lord. Abram waited till the Lord told him to lift up his eyes. You know, what a beautiful picture of a pilgrim where a person is waiting. You know, waiting is always a difficult thing for each one of us. I'm sure we all have gone through life in waiting, and we like to have things done quick. You know, we like to have a life of a drive-through window where we make an order, we go to the next window and collect the stuff. Or we want to have food made in a microwave because we want things to be done quick. So we live in a world where things are being done quick. And this is how the world is moving. And sometimes waiting is always difficult for us. But how often do we wait on the Lord? And in the book of Psalms, the word waiting continues to be repeated again and again, because we are prone to forget to wait on the Lord. The psalmist is reminding us to keep waiting. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read that he has made beautiful all things in its time. God's timing is the most perfect timing, but it takes a little bit of patience and faith in order to wait on the Lord. Never early, never late, but it is worth the wait. And I'm sure that we can look back in our lives certain times where we had waited, and we would have said to ourselves, "I'm glad I waited. It was worth it." But still, in life, we make hasty decisions. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus, as we move on in our pilgrim life, we need to understand that God's timing is the most perfect timing. And we need to wait till he acts. We need to trust in his delays. As someone said, delays are not denials. Waiting is not wasting. And this is where we need to practice to wait on the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." God does care for us, and his timing is the most perfect timing. Our times are in his hands. Psalms 31 and verse 15. So also Psalm 18 and verse 30 is a verse that I oftentimes read and be encouraged. "Ask for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all those who trust in him." So God's plan, carried out in God's ways and in God's timing, will never lack God's resources. I want us to be reminded again and again of that. God's plan, carried out in God's way and in his timing, will never lack God's resources. As someone said, "He who counts the stars and calls them by their names is in no danger of forgetting his own children." Which is a very good reminder for us. He who counts the stars and calls them by name is in no danger of forgetting his children. And thank God we are the children of the Most High. The question is that how willing are we to trust and wait on God to act? And King David said in beautiful Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, as a sheep, we don't see the future much ahead of us. A sheep can only see a few, maybe a feet or two. And as it follows the voice of the shepherd, as it continues to move forward, the next path becomes clear. That is what King David is saying. He himself was a shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, we cannot see the future. Our vision is very short-sighted. But if we trust and obey and follow him and wait upon the Lord to act, then we are in the right place. Finally, I want to quickly finish up talking about the fact that after the Lord pointed out to Abram the land that he would choose, the Lord added his blessings. The promise of the Lord came after Abram decided to wait till the Lord pointed. So here we see the Lord is saying to him, "To all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." What a blessing of waiting on the Lord. All the land that Abram was seeing, the Lord is saying, "I give to you and your descendants, not just for a few days, but forever. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth." A beautiful picture of a pilgrim, a man who waited on the Lord, who was prudent to know that he needs to wait on God to give him the direction. And we see the generational blessing that comes in the life of Abraham. So the pilgrimage continues. When God works in his time for his glory in and through us, we cannot be idle. But praise the Lord. Here we see towards the end that Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So his pilgrimage is continuing. He is still learning as he goes. But the fact is that the Lord taught him a beautiful lesson. If you wait on me, then my blessings will be upon you. And that prompted him to build an altar and praise and worship the Lord. Our pilgrimage is continuing. You know, we are still on the road. A pilgrim's life is living daily to trust in God's guidance and to praise him for all that he does. So that is where we stand as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are pilgrims on the road to heaven, trusting daily for God's guidance, and then praising him for all that he's done for us. So our God is a God worthy of all our praises. And here we see that Abram built an altar there to the Lord. And this is not the only time we see the picture of altar coming up again and again in his life. So coming back to this, we see the life of a pilgrimage, the possessions, we talked about prudence, we talked about the plain of Sodom, we talked about God pointing out the land, and then the promise of the Lord, and eventually we see that Abram pitched and praised the Lord. So in conclusion, we read in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, a beautiful prayer that we oftentimes know by heart. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." As we continue our journey, let us not forget to wait on the Lord, to know that he is the best counselor who is there for us. Let us continue to wait upon him for decisions in our lives, in our children's lives, so that he would take all the glory and honor. It is worth to wait on the Lord and ask him to show us the way. And may God help us as we continue our journey to continue to wait on the Lord and wait for him to act, so that our life would be secure, that we would be away from making hasty decisions which can affect our lives, our families' lives, May God help us to be prudent, to wait upon the Lord and trust Him daily in our lives. That'll be close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this passage that we could read from the life of Abram and the lessons that we have learned from it. Lord, we thank you that we have these examples before us where we can look and understand the lessons that we can learn from it, to be able to learn and to apply these in our lives. We thank you for that. We just pray that, Lord, that we'll continue to dwell upon your word, to seek your counsel in our lives daily, so that our lives would be fruitful and beneficial for, and to bring glory to your name, and the one that brings blessing to people around us. We thank you for this time, Lord. We pray that you would bless us and guide us through the rest of the week. We give you thanks in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.